Difficult one. Pasuk Hamalach Hagoyles Hini Kol Ro. Yevorech Hasanar. Okay. The Malach that redeems me from all evil shall bless the youngsters. The Korevem Shmi, and my name shall be called upon them. The Shem Avosai, in the name of my fathers, Avram Yitzchak. Yidgul Rov Bekerav Haaretz. I shall multiply like fish in the midst of the land. So what is this on Malach HaGoyel? What is this on Malach? He's asking the Malach to bless the Na'orah. Yeah, it's an unusual pasuk. Usually, a bracha is from Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's some of you when they saw the Neva. Isn't a Malach HaGoyel see a bracha as an arm? You have to understand also what was the bracha that Yaakov gave especially to Yosef. What was the special bracha that Yaakov gave to Yosef? So what did he give to him that was different than the other bracha? So he gave him really Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe and Ephraim. That was the beginning. That's the beginning of the story, right? He says. Vayam Yaakov el Yosef, Kel shakai nira elai beluz be'eretz kinoan vayavarach osi. Vayam alai hini mafrecho v'yibisichu nusaticho l'kal amen. V'nasati shoros ezoz lozarach v'achrecha achuzas olam. So, Rashi explains, in the mafrecho v'hir b'sicho, it means I'll make you fruitful and multiply you, and it's a ticho l'kal amen. So what does it have to do with it? What does it have to do with the fact that he's taking Yosef and he's breaking him up into two additional shvatim, Ephraim and Manasseh? So Rashi says, b'srani she'asidim lotzeish mimeni od kehal v'amen. God told me that they will, in the future, they will come out of me a kohol, and one kohol, a group, and v'amim, and nations. V'af ha'pisham ali goyi kahal goyim, even though he said two things, goy and kahal goyim. Goy amali al binyamin, kahal goyim, harei shenayim. Kahal goyim is plural, so it means one and two more. Harei shenayim l'vami binyamin. V'shuv l'noli bain. And after that, the way I had no child. L'madni, she'osir echod mishivtai, mishvatai lecholik. So you see that one of the shvatim was supposed to split into two, and this blessing I'm going to give to you. Now what is the meaning of all this? I mean, the blessing of an additional shevet, and this is the great bracha. This was the unique bracha that was given to Yosef HaTzadik. Okay, it's interesting. In the brachos Yaakov Avinu gave to Yosef, in the bracha it says, like, Mentes Chav Bey, Bein Poros Yosef, Bein Poros Aleoy, Bono Sodor Leishua. Okay, one shot Bein Poros Yosef means a son that is fruitful, multiplies, Breed the Ravis Yosef. Okay. Then he goes on to the talking about Yisra Tzadik, Bano Soda Le Shur, how the women in Mitzrayim would try to climb up the wall just to get just to be able to look. I guess say that's how handsome he was. Then it goes to his history by Maruva Robu, that the brothers, well, Potiphar and his wife made it bitter for him, and the brothers fought with him. I used to move by Lechitzim, and they tormented him with their words. Vateshev be'eson kashto. Then Vateshev be'eson kashto goes on about the how he established himself very strongly, confident in himself. Vayafozuz Roy Yadov is very successful. Midei Avir Yaakov, where did this come from? It came from the God of Yaakov. Shomro Evan Yisrael. Then it says like this. It says, and Kelo Vicho V'Yazreko, I mentioned V'Yazreko, I explained, the Ezer, the Ezer means that a person in life can never be successful against the Yitzhar unless he has the unless God assists him. So that's why it says Mekel Vicho Yazreko. And then the next pasuk is Birchos Avicho Gavro Birchos Harav. An interesting pasuk. It says, it tells him that the brachos of your father, which is he himself, Gavro Birchos Harav, were greater than the brachos than my father's received. Okay? Atavas Givos Olam. Till the end of the mountains of the universe. So what does it mean? So Rashi explains, the brachos shebrachani atarech brachos, the brachos that God blessed me, gavru v'holchu ala brachos shebrachos ala. They were greater than the brachos that my forefathers, my father and my grandfather had. Why? He said, v'fisha brachos sheli gavru atzof gvule givos ala. Because my brachas went to the end of the universe. She nasan li bracha prutza b'limitzar. Because he gave me a bracha that has no boundaries. Magas adalit tosola. Goes to the four corners of the universe. Means to the end of eternity. She namar ufaratzta yomo v'kedmo v'tzafono v'negro. Masha lo omar la avram avinu. Uli yitzcha. Okay, he didn't say this stuff on this. Lavram Amalei Sonoi Nechorei. It's Avram, he told him to look around and see the land. Yes, Kol Asher Taroh Luchot Meno. V'lo Hero El Eretz Yisrael Bovat. He only showed him why. He only showed him the land of Canaan. Eretz Yisrael itself. That was it. Yitzchak Amalo Ki Lechol Zarech Haytenis Kol Eretz Yisrael. So again, he showed him these specific lands. Like Amos is a short. Okay. Zeo Shami Yishayo. Why do you say Nachlas Yaakov Avicho and not Nachlas Avram? Because the Nachlas Yaakov is really a Nachla that has no boundaries. Ufarats the Yom of a Kedmo of a Tzafon of a Nachla. Okay. So what kind of a Nachla is that? What kind of a Nachla is that? A Nachla that's boundless. That is endless. What kind of a nachla? That I mean, a nachla was Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean by boundless? It means that you'll be able to have the entire universe. A person can live in a small part of the universe anyway. Very small part of the universe, and Eretz Yisrael was a small part of that part. So where is the boundlessness? Where is the endlessness? In the bracha that Yaakov received, that is different than the other of us. Okay, really, if you take a look at Vayechi, or in general, in Bereishis, you see one thing. You see that Yaakov's life was tied to one place. Revolved around, his whole life revolved around one place. What place was that? That was this place. His whole life revolved around, there was one place that had a certain significance to him. He was constantly coming back to that place. That's Beis El. The whole story starts with Beis El. That's in the beginning of Vayetze. Vayetze Yaakov and Be'er Shava. That's when he starts on his own. And Vayivga Bamakon Vayolan Shom. Okay, Vayikach Me'avneh Malach Me'esmer Rashasov, Vayachalom, and Beis El really is the place that started him on his whole purpose of his existence, his whole mission. It started from Beis El. And then again, you see, comes back after in the end of he returns. Yeah, he says in Vayishlach. He goes back, but when he had problems with the end of Ayetze rather, So he says to his wives, he says, he calls them together, and he says, it's in Pasuk, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pesukim Yud Aleph, Beis Gimel. But so he says, he calls them together, and he tells them the story, the problems he's having with Lavan, and then he says, Vayomer le Malach Olokim b'chalom Yaakov, la'omer einei. Vayomer sono einecho rei kol atudim olam alatzon, akudim ruim. Paris iske eishash kol asher Lavan asalam. I have seen what Lavan's trying to do to you, and I saved you from his oppression, his unfairness, his injustice. Then the next pasuk is Anochi Okeil Beisel, Hashem Ashachta Shom Atzeva, Hashem Adat Li Shom Neda, Ata Kuntei Manor Tzos, Neshuv Alatz Malatecha. So you see, the moment he gets finished with his work by Lavan, after working by Lavan for 20 years. So he has a nevuah, the Malach HaLakim comes to him, and what does the Malach HaLakim mention? The Beis El. Then in Vayishlach, Lamed Hei Hei, Vayovo Yaakov Luzo. He says, Lamed Hei, in the beginning, Vayomer Kamei Yaakov, Kumalei Beis El, Veshev Shom. Vase Shom Mizbeach Lokel Aniro Elecho Bavor Chachon Me'esa Lachichon. Okay. And then, Vayav Yaakov Luzo, Hashem Reskan, he Beisel. Vayiven Shom Mizbeach Lekol Amakom, Kael Beisel. Shom Nigla Lov Olekin, Bavor Chachon Me'ochet. And what does he say when he's dying, what does he say? Same thing. Vayam Yaakov Yosef, Kael Shakai Niro Elei Beluz. Eretz Kinon by Avarachos. So Luz, the place Luz was really something that his whole life revolved around one place. It was Beis El. But the place, what was the place? Beis El. The pasuk says really Hanochi Hakel Beis El. Wasn't it Hanochi Hakel Beis El? What is it? It's a strange kind of formulation. I mean, Kael Beisel doesn't make any sense. Kael is God, and Beisel is a place. So what is the combination between Kael and Beisel? So of course it means the way Tigger Munkus explains, I am the God that revealed himself to you in Beisel. But still, that's true. But still, what does it show you? It shows you an interesting thing. It shows you that Beis El is a finite place, but this finite place is tied to the infinite. That's what it means. Anochi Okeil Beis El. It means this finite place of Beis El, where Yaakov Avinu spent the night, is really tied to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the whole vision of the Malachim. The Sulam Mutzav Arzo, the Roshoma Gia Shomayna. It means to say that Beis El is really a finite place. But this place of Beis El, the ideas that he received in Beis El, are tied to something which is far exceeds the Makom of Beis El. Beis El is only a limited geographical area. But the ideas are tied to the infinite. That means to say, and that was the first time, as I mentioned once before, that was the first time that there was a concept that was revealed to man by God of Kedushas Makom. It means to say that there is a place that is associated with a Makom, a place that is associated with the infinite ideas. With Chachmas Alakim, and with a person's shlichus, with an individual shlichus. Because that's really what Beis El was. Beis El was the place that it received the shlichus. That was the inception of the shlichus. So what did it mean to say? I meant to say one thing. I meant to say that Yaakov Avinu, there's three of us, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Avram was Omer HaChesed, and Yitzchak was Avoda, and Yaakov Avinu was Torah. Means to say that that Yaakov Avinu, to him, when he saw the finite, there really was no finite. The finite always reflected the infinite. Was intrinsically related and tied to the infinite. And that's really the whole concept of Eretz Yisrael. What is the concept of Eretz Yisrael? What's the purpose of Eretz Yisrael? The purpose of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael is not the most beautiful place in the world. The purpose of Eretz Yisrael is that Eretz Yisrael is a finite makom, a finite place. But this finite place is tied up very, very, very intricately bound with infinite ideas. With infinite ideas. Infinite ideas about a person's purpose in life, about his derech hachayim, and about his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So really, what Yaakov Avinu, when he saw his sight of Eretz Yisrael really didn't convey to him the land as a means. For the Avos, the land was a means. Avram and Yitzchak, the land was a means of fulfilling a certain objective. You have to have an Ummah. An Ummah must have a place. So the land, the bracha of the land was that they will have this place in which they can function. In which they can live, in which they can enjoy life. It's Birkas Haaretz. There's such a thing as having, in other words, to enjoy the land. Enjoyment of the land is also something. Brachas Nefer mentions many times enjoyment of the land. The enjoyment of the land is a means, it's a function. So, but all enjoyments are finite. All enjoyments are finite. And that's the problem with pleasures. Pleasures are finite. And a person's desires are infinite. That's why pleasures will never satisfy a human being. That's the Yisod of Yadus. Pleasures can never satisfy a human being. Because after a person indulges in a pleasure, he's either followed, as one philosopher said, is either followed by depression or else by another desire. One of the two. In which case, why the Sefer Kalos? Correct. So the pleasures that a person, the physical enjoyments, are finite. That's the problem, they're finite. Even the physical enjoyments of Eretz Yisrael, even the enjoyments of Eretz Yisrael are finite. But there are those individuals who, in this situation, don't see the finite. But what they see in the situation is the infinite. What does it mean? It means to say, to them, when they see the world, what they see is an infinity. It's a physical, limited physical entity, but this limited physical entity is tied to an infinity. And the seeing in the land, in Eretz Yisrael, a person can look at Eretz Yisrael as two frameworks. The one framework of Eretz Yisrael is, it serves as its purpose is for an Ummah. It's correct. That's a finite, that still is a finite category. But there's something else, and that is that the person really sees the birchas aret is that in this situation of Eretz Yisrael, anochi akel beisel, which means beisel, the makom beisel, is really, when Yaakov Avinu saw the place of beisel, what he saw was the infinite. His attachment to the infinite, In terms of his shlichus, it's a different kind of a shlichus. See, every shlichus that a person does in his life is also finite. He has an objective, whatever the objective may be. Whether it's an objective to be successful in business or a political leader or in any specific area, it's a finite objective. But the mission of Yaakov Avinu, his mission, when he had the vision in the Chalom HaLaila, it was really a mission that's tied to the infinite. It's the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chochmas Hashem, and between the finite. So that was an Ochi Akel Beisel. So, and what Mida really? What Mida is necessary in order to have that kind of a perception? There's only one Mida that's necessary for that, and that is Torah. That's Talmud Torah. Because Talmud Torah, the nature of Talmud Torah, you see, the nature of what is one of the characteristics of Talmud Torah? One of the characteristics of Talmud Torah is Koren V'Rovim. Gidolo Midei Eretz Midah. Rechova Manayon. Greater than the land, broader than the sea, Koren V'Rovim. Constantly keeps on increasing, multiplying. Why? Why does it keep on multiplying Talmud Torah? Because it's an infinite process. So it was Yaakov Avinu's mission was really to give the characteristic to Eretz Yisrael of the infinite. In other words, his mind's eye was always on the infinite. Not on the land itself as a vehicle even, but as the land itself, the land in terms of how the land relates to his ultimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the carrying out of his mission, he's really involved in an infinity. What infinity? The infinity of the relationship between God and between people. Between God and between man. So, that was the name Malachi Elohim, Olin V'Yardinbar. That was the uniqueness. That was Yaakov Avinu's vision. Why? Because he was really Bechir Shev Avos. It means that the other Avos really just set up the situation. That was Avram and Yitzchak. They set up the situation. What does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says that the they gave the Klal Yisrael the ability to function. That was merely insofar as the Ummah is concerned. The Ummah is a vehicle. But within the Ummah, within this Ummah, the Ummah has a lot of parts to it. The Ummah is a big phenomenon, big entity. But within the Ummah, the Chachmei Omer, which is the core of the nation, and the whole nation really is there because of the fact that the purpose of the Omer is to have Chachmei Yisrael. So the Chachmei Omer at the core of the system, that's where the relationship between the finite and the infinite takes place. In the core of the Omer, in the Chachmei Omer. In other words, in the characteristic of the Ummah of Torah. That was the mission of Yaakov. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says that Birchos Avicha Govra Birchos Harai. It means to say that what did Yaakov Avinu do? So Yaakov Avinu established a nation. It wasn't just that he established a nation. Before Yaakov Avinu came on the scene, there was just a haftacha that there will be a land for the people. But the one that really created individuals who partake of the eternal, created the mishpachos that partake of the eternal. I mentioned last week that the mishpacha is the unit, is the smallest social unit. That's why in the Torah we always have, because we said that man, insofar as he exists in this life, he is a social entity. He can't function by himself. By himself, he's hopeless. So he has to function within the framework of a unit of mishpacha. That's why the Torah always talks about mishpacha. Mentioned again when counting the midbar, the pekudim of mishpacha, so on, mishpachas, all the different mishpachas. So the one that established Yaakov Avinu's his what was his objective? His objective was to establish mishpachos that will be perfected and will partake of Chochmas HaTorah, of the infinite Chochmas HaShem. That's why it says in Vayetze, it says, what do you say? It says that in the end of the, in the end of the, where he made his commitment, he said that, so Rashi says, "Shemo alai mitzil vatzov shli yimotze psul bizari." Means that he was the one that would establish this kind of a social entity, kind of a social entity which is tied to the infinite. First time that you had such a phenomenon. So you have a mishpacha, that the mishpachos were established, and each mishpacha was tied to the infinite. That's the bracha b'limitzah. But who was the one that really partook of this to the greatest degree? Who was the one that put it to the greatest degree? That was Yeshua Tzadik. That was Yosef. But it says, ki ben zakunim hulo, what does it say? Bar chaki. So Rashi explains, Chazal say that he gave him over the Torah. It means to say this Torah from Shem Ve'eva is a different kind of Torah. They all learned Torah from their father. But the Torah from Shem Ve'eva is Torah that deals with the Sisra Torah, the hidden parts of the Torah, which is really the metaphysical aspects of Torah. The metaphysical part of Torah is where one really learns, gains knowledge of his relationship between man, the finite man, and his infinite relationship to Kodesh Baruch Hu, his relationship to the infinite. His relationship with the infinite, so partakes of the infinite. So that was Yosef's, that was really Yosef's ability. That was his ability. The Nachala B'li Mitzora means taking the finite Yerusha and converting it into the infinite. How do you convert it into the infinite? There's only one method. It's only the Torah. As long as a person is involved in the personal satisfactions, it's limited, it's finite. I don't care how great it could be. The greatest king, the most successful, the wealthiest individual, whatever he has, there's one quality he can't escape from. And that is the finite. That's it. You can go in, no matter what it is, go finite. And his ability to take in pleasure is at an exceedingly great rate, and he has to come to the end very quickly. Very, very quickly. Very short order. That's why it's always the case that people who are poor, or even middle-income people, they're always amazed at how wealthy people spend their money. So if I had that kind of money, what I would be doing, I wouldn't be here, I'd be going there, around there, all over, because they're fantasies. They don't realize that people have tried that before. And there's a reason why they're not enjoying their money the way these other people are mad. The reason is very simple. The reason is because it's finite. And something that's finite, you only imagine that you're going to indulge forever in this pleasure. But the human nature is such that he very quickly comes to the end of the enjoyment. Very fast. And then he has to pay the bills. But that's a longer process. But the enjoyment is very quick. But there's only a person who will take up one thing, wherein, as a matter of fact, I would put it this way. I would say the following: that the enjoyment, even on a physical plane, so to speak, partakes of the infinite. I know this sounds crazy, but I'll tell you what I mean. What I mean is like this. That if a person's energies are really involved in chokhmah and knowledge and pursuing truth in the world of the infinite, then the physical pleasures that he has also are not frustrated. They also are not frustrated because they are playing the proper role in his life. In other words, if a person, for instance, wants to go to some place that is very enjoyable for him. So if the person goes there with that sole purpose, that's what he wants. He's waiting for this pleasure. He's waiting all year to go on this vacation. You'll see very quickly he's going to be frustrated. It's not going to be the way you imagined it would be. Let me put it that way. Okay, some more, some less. Depends on the different features, personalities, whatever. But if a person would enjoy, would be involved in enjoying Chochmas Torah, enjoying Chochma, and alongside of that, there are the physical pleasures as well. So then, on the contrary, then the physical pleasures which aid him are not frustrated. Contrary, he enjoys it because the pleasure is functioning properly according to the nature of man. The problem with man is that he wants to forget that he's man. He wants to think, like Aristotle said, most people would prefer to live as animals, which is correct. Most people would prefer to live as animals. But the person forgets that there's a certain part of his nature that will never be satisfied. Gamma nefesh latamoi. So if a person enjoys the physical as the proper concomitant of the true enjoyment of the infinite, then on the contrary, then he never gets frustrated. Then the pleasures are really enjoyable. They're endlessly enjoyable. Endlessly enjoyable. Because they're endless, they go on with the process that he's involved with. That's the separate bracha. That's the faratzta yomo of a kema v'tafona. It means endless. That's the nachala b'li mitzvah. It's a nachala. It's a physical nachala. But it's b'li mitzvah. There's no boundaries. You never get to the end of the boundaries. Why? Because it's a process. It's a process. If the person is living life according to the correct process that is appropriate for a human being, then on the contrary, then his nature, the fact that he has an infinite nature, it comes to the fore. And he enjoys his involvement in the Chochmah, and he even enjoys the physical pleasures also. The Eretz also, he enjoys Eretz Yisrael also. He enjoys the land, he enjoys the benefits. Everything is in its proper perspective. And his enjoyments of the physical are not frustrating, on the contrary. If a person engages in a chachma, the physical pleasures themselves are enjoyable and they're not frustrating because they're in the proper perspective. That's the nachala b'li mitzon. So that nachala b'li mitzon partakes of one quality. What is the quality it partakes of? There's one essential quality in the nachala b'li mitzon. That quality is increase. Because man by nature is never happy without increase. Increase is a part of the nature. That's right. Even in Torah, if you heard the same shiur every day, you get tired, you're bored. And okay, even based on nefesh ruach hakodesh, you can learn over the same thing 100 times. But every time if you learn it, if you do it properly, you always see new connections because everything's tied in and it's tied into. It's always tied into various sources of chachma that it draws from, and you can go off and on and keep on going infinitely. So, but why is it so enjoyable? It's enjoyable because of the fact that it's parin v'ravin. That's the one quality that man needs. The mistake that people make is they think that they are going to find something that's going to make them happy. There's no such thing. They're looking for a finite object that's going to make them happy. I don't care what it is. Be the biggest palace. Be the most luxurious fantasy. But the moment it is a finite act, man will never do it. Because man's nature is looking for the infinite. He's looking for the infinite. He wants something which is a process that keeps growing and growing. What does he need? He needs Gedola Midei Eretz. That's what he needs. What does he want? Gedola Midei Eretz. Rechava Manayam. That's what his nature wants. It sounds greedy, but that's man's nature. Man's nature, man is greedy. Man wants an endless for something endless. That's correct. You see that the shelf in front of God. The first thing before he went there was the Star's Best Man. Man's nature, man is greedy. He wants the infinite. Fortunately, God gave him the opportunity to be very greedy. That he really could partake of something that is a constantly growing, expanding, it's recreating itself. It's parin v'ravin. What is that? That is Chochmas Torah. Bein poros yosef. What does it mean, bein poros? Poros Targum says,
Ravi
means that he comes from pouring, pouring for rubbing, vein pouring. Yosef was a son. What was the quality of Yosef? The quality of Yosef was multiplication. He keeps on increasing, increasing. It's an endless increase. He has that quality of endless increase. What is that quality? That's the quality of looking at the physical and not negating the physical. It's going to do that. Not negating the physical. But the recognition of the physical and using the physical as the proper proper accompaniment of the infinite. That's what it means. Proper accompaniment of the infinite. That's being Paras Yosef. Who had that? Who was the one that had that that ability to the highest degree? That was Yaakovinu. Even insofar as his mission was concerned. A mission of Talmud Torah a person can envision as infinite. Okay, I'm sitting down and enjoying myself. And I'm working out ideas, enjoying these thoughts. It's endless. I have this idea, this cash of parrots. I discuss it with somebody. It's a very enjoyable process. But a mission is a little harder. To establish, when a person has to do something, has to establish something, then you involve yourself with great difficulty. Person has to establish a makom tayar. That's Yehuda Shlomo from the Goshen. Yeah.
Yosef has a beautiful experience of the name of Yosef.
Yosef. Yeah, very good. Yosef itself is Lashon HaSachar. That's correct. That's very good. His name itself is HaSachar. Name itself is HaSachar. Increase. It's the quality of increase. So, of course, anybody can enjoy Torah. I mean, anybody should be able to enjoy that. Enjoy Torah and enjoy the involvement in the endless. But when it comes to a mission is a little more difficult. Because a mission means we have to go through the physical difficulties of establishing something. A person tries to establish a base of Knesset, a base of Medrash, a Makom Torah, build a Migdash. This involves physical activity. Physical activity involves. It involves getting people to help you financially, support. It's a difficult thing. And Avraham Cutler Zatzal had to go to ask a wealthy businessman for money to keep the Yeshiva of Lakewood open. It's not an easy thing. Much more, he enjoyed learning a piece of the Gemara, getting the shiur. But that is that area of life. That area of life, most people would associate with the finite. It's very difficult for a person to be involved in that area and to perceive in that the infinite. That is more difficult. More difficult than learning. Learning, it's obvious, because the area you're dealing with is the infinite. But in establishing something, in creating it, in creating something where you require a physical base, like establishing an Omar, that's difficult. That was the halom that Yaakov had, where he had to go. And he had to in Neil Kimodi Shmarani Bader Khazar Shanafeolek Minasami Lechem Lecho Leveged Lilbosh. He had to go work for 20 years in the house of Lavan Arami. Then it's difficult for a person to be working in the house of Lavan Arami and to be tied to the infinite. That's very difficult. Because you're not involved in the substance of the infinite, you're involved in the substance of the finite, the material. But Yaakov Avinu's uniqueness, his kochos and nefesh permitted him to be involved, even when he was involved in the finite, there was an Ochi Okel base ale. In the finite base ale, there was Okel. He was always tied to the infinite. That was his uniqueness. That is something that is extremely difficult to do. So, Rashi says that, Hamalach HaGoel Osi Mikol Ra. Hamalach HaGoel Osi Mikol Ra. So Rashi says, Malach HaRogil Ishtaleach Elai Be'ez Tzarasu. The Malach that came to me at a time when I had my tzaras, when I was in pain. Shinema Vayomar Elai Malach Volokim B'chalom Yaakov. V'omai Nei. It means that and what does it mean, base? That wasn't mean, base, Sarasi, time of my troubles. If a person's learning the base matters, very nice. You can see, of course, you can see the Rabbanu Shlomo. But when he's in a time of sorrows, when he's in a time of difficulty, when he's in pain, When it's a halanu chor v'kerev balolo v'kidach nasi me'ena, when he can't sleep, when he's freezing, when he's just involved in the physical pain of this world, of this life, for a higher purpose, there it's hard already to see the infinite. And you lose sight. You lose sight of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Person lose sight of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov didn't lose sight. That was the Malach HaLakim. That was Malach HaRogu L'shtalayach Elay Beis Sarasi. The Malach that came to me when I was in the worst pain, in the worst sorrow, but suddenly I had a vision and the Malach HaLakim came to me. And I saw, what did I see? The Malach HaLakim means my relationship. What saved me? What saved me was my relationship with the infinite. In the worst times, most difficult periods. And what does it say? And Rashi quotes, it's interesting. What does Rashi? Rashi continues to quote. It says, Vayom alay malach alakim b'chalom Yaakov v'gomer. And Rashi says, Anochi akel beisel. Anochi akel beisel. That beisel, the finite beisel, the finite life, the life that's involved with the physical, with those things that are necessary, the painful things that are necessary for a person to do in order to establish, that he had to do in order to establish a new one, in order to establish Klal Yisrael, that was Akel Bezel. Akel was always tied to Bezel. That was the koach, that was the uniqueness, the unique power of Yaakov Avinu. The other of us didn't have that. The other of us weren't engaged in such, didn't have that kind of a life. Yaakov Avinu had an unbelievably difficult life. Lo shakatati min uroi, like Chazal said. He never had any peace. Only had 17 years, in the end, he had 17 years. 17 years, end of his life. But the whole, but in his practical life, it was Saras Esav, and Saras Esav was before that. Saras Esav, Saras Lavan, Saras Dina, Saras Rachel, Saras Constant Saras. Okel HaNira, Malach HaNira Elay Be'ez Saras. Malach HaNira Elay Be'ez Saras. He was a man who lived through the most difficult times that a person can have, every step of the way. Where every step of the way was forged with great difficulty. Everything that was hard won, every victory that he had was hard won. Painful. But what was the thing that that saved him? That made him? That was a kel beisel. The malach that appeared to me, be'eis sarasi. What do you need in order to be able to have? I thought, can you just hold the question so I can finish up? What do you need to have in order for a person to be able to do this? That's more of a trick. I mean, to see God and Torah is one thing. A person to be removed, be in his everyday life and be related to him, that's a little more difficult. So what do you need for that? For that a person needs a unique level of Torah Lashma. A unique level of Torah Lashma. That's really what we're going to do, actually. It ties into, and when we start the sixth parak in Pergeva, we're going to what Torah Lashma is. We'll expand on that. But it means to say that he has a unique relationship with the Creator, with the Borei Olam, because of his Chochmas HaTorah. Midei Avir Yaakov. Where did you get this? This is from Avir Yaakov, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Misham Ro Evan Yisrael. So this unique relationship, the Torah of Shem V'Eva, the unique relationship that Yosef had, that Yaakov had, with Kadosh Baruch Hu, that permitted his daily mundane activities to be tied to the infinite. That was the thing that set up the phenomena of Akel Beisel. That's a very difficult thing to do. So, what was the bracha that Yaakov gave to Yosef? Yosef was the one that had this. That had this ability. He was the one, apparently, that was able to take over that quality of his father. More than any other child. So what did he give him? What did he give him? That's correct. As a matter of fact, that was one of his part of the brachas over there, where it says, not only that, it says, that's correct, it says, where it talks about his abilities. So, yeah, you see, that's exactly what the bracha says. So you take a look. That's what it means. What does it mean? He had the same kind of problems. There was Yaakov Avinu, who had the difficult life, and who had the most difficult life after him? Ilse. The other brothers had a war with the father. They were home with the father, nice home. They did their work, and they were with Yaakovino. But who was the one that went through all the Taurus? Yes, sir. Vayimoru varoga, vayistimu balechitza. Okay, they tormented him. And then, but nevertheless, vateshav ve'eson kashta. Nevertheless, he was strong, and he didn't give way. Vayafozu zroa yodo. He says, and he was successful. So, what does Rashi say? Midei avir Yaakov, zos hoy salo midei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shehu avir Yaakov. Mishom ol alios roa evi Yisrael, ikon shel Yisrael. So, you see, and Rashi says, v'onkulos afu came to them. And what does Rashi say? V'tovos b'hon v'usei, ha'chalomos ha'shecholom lehem, al dekiyim o'raisa b'sisra. Because he kept the Torah privately, quietly. What does Torah Lashma? Torah Lashma means when there's no other reason to keep the Torah but for its own sake. No one knows you're learning, no one has any sheikhs, they don't care about Torah, there's no respect for Torah. Nobody's even aware of the fact that you're learning. That was Yisra Tzadik. Al Dekiyam Araisa B'Sisra. Alone in Mitzrayim, nobody knows. But he was Mekayim Araisa. That was the kesher. That kesher between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Tosfos said. So he says that So he says that Vateshev Nivuoso Bishvil Vateshev Nivuoso Bishvil Sha a sono shall a Kurish Borhu Hoysolo Lakeshis Lamiftach. The strength of a Kurish Borhu means what does it mean? The strength of a Kurish Borhu means his relationship. His relationship to the infinite. So who was the one that took over that whole Midah of Yaakov, you know? That was Yosef. By Maruva Robo, he's still Malachitim. He also had the most difficult life, maybe even more difficult than Yaakov's. And nevertheless, he was able to hold fast to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why he mentions Birchos Avicho Govra Birchos Hara. It wasn't Gaiva they were saying. He's saying that the Brachos of your father, meaning he, had an additional feature that the other of us didn't have. He had the difficulties, but he had those difficulties made him see HaKadosh Baruch Hu even as the brachos of Menashe and Ephraim. That's why it says Hamalach Hagoel Osi Mikol Ra. Which Malach is that? Rashi says it's the Malach. Which Malach is it? The Malach that the boy lay beis sorosi. He says that's the Malach. The Malach is like the Rambam says. What does Rambam say in Hilchos Mezuzah? So the Rambam says that Hilchos Mezuzah is very important because it always gives the person the true ideas when he goes into his house and when he goes out of his house. So the Rambam says, if a person has tefillin and tzitzis and mezuzah, he says he won't sin. He won't be a chote. Shari yeshlo maskirim rabin. He has many things that remind him. The hein hamalachim shematzilim asom milachto. These are the true malachim. These are the true malachim that prevent them from sinning. God's angel rests around those that fear him, and he protects, and the malach protects him. So how does which malach protect the person? Not some mystical illusory malach. The malach is the mitzvah, the mitzvahs, the maskilim. Those things, those traits, the qualities that bring a person close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he said, when he said to Yosef, he said that I'm going to give you this. As a matter of fact, he starts off, that's why he says, Vayam Yaakov Yosef, Kel Shakai, Emem Ches Gimel, Kel Shakai Nirei Lai Beluz Beretz Kinoan. What is Luz? Luz is Beisel. Anochi Kel Beisel. That's been my whole life, was Luz, was Beisel. That was my life. To tie Basil to Kale. And he says, and what did God say? Hini mafracha v'bisicho anisaticho l'kalan, and the endless gvul. The endless gvul is only through the infinite being related, proper relation between the infinite and the finite. And he says, v'ata shnevo necha nolo demacha, you're the one that carried on this mesorah. He says, Ephraim u'menashe keruvim v'shimon yuli. And then he says, when he saw B'nai Yosef, so he says, that after he gave him the bracha, when he gave him the bracha, actually, When he put his hands on him to give him the bracha, Hamalach Hagoyal Osi Mikol Roy Yevorech Hashem Olam. Which Malach? The Malach that was in that came to me based on Rossi. That's what their blessing should be. That they should have that ability to never forget, even when they're involved in the mundane, to see the relationship between the limited physical and its relationship to the infinite. That's the bracha. That's the malach ha-goyalos and the kola yavorech ha-sanorim. That should be the malach. That should be the maski, like the Rambam says. Konam malach ha-shem sel wherever v'chalsem. That should be the thing, that trait, that ability, that midah should be the thing that should bless them. They should have that blessing. Then he says, v'yikore v'hem shemi, v'shem avos avin yitzchak. If that will take place, then my name will be bound to them, because that was his quality, his trait. The Yidgularov the Karavarts. What is the end of the bracha? The Yidgularov the Karavarts. What does it mean? Multiply. The bracha itself, with Yosef Bain Paras Yosef, is one bracha. The bracha is multiplication. That's the bracha. The infinite process of multiplication. That's the unique bracha that gives you the other. Okay. Now, I know there's a lot of questions as we're going along. So they came to him at the end. They were afraid that the Lunas Tamani Yosef. So they were afraid he was going to take revenge. So he said to them, Al Tiro, Yesachas Elokimoni, Vatam Chashavtam Alai Ro, Elokim Chashav Alatova, Laman Asot Hayom Ezelach Yisam Rav. My relationship is to the infinite. In the infinite scheme of things, it was the Tova. That's where I'm related. I'm the Tova. It's nothing to do with you. You're talking about the world of the finite. The world of the finite, that's you were angry at me, you want to get back at me, I'm not in that world. I see it in terms of the infinite. In terms of the infinite, this was the greatest bracha, because this was the thing which was necessary in order to establish the whole future of Klal Yisrael. There's an interesting Ramban. The Ramban is in Bereishis Lamed Aleph. Bereishis Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. On Pasuk Gimel, Nochi Akel Beisel. Hashem Ashachta Shom Matzeva Hashem Adarta Li Shom Neda. This is practically what he said. It's amazing. He says like this. He says, Valderach Emes Yoma Hamalach Hazer Onochi O Keil Beisel V'chein Vayikra Lamokom Keil Beisel Kmo Sheomar Tzion Kedosh Yisrael. Kedosh Yisrael. It says in the Navi. And then he says, the Yonasan ben Uziel Omar Kaddish Bishmei Meroma Iloa Beis Shechinte. And he's Kaddish Meroma Iloa Beis Shechinte. That's in the Kaddish Baruch Hu and infinite, in his infinite abode. V'hu ha-malach ha-gora. That's what I'm asking. V'hu ha-malach ha-gora. Okay. V'chein, he says, b'chol beisi nemanu. B'chol beisi nemanu. It means to say, what is Ramban saying, all these things? The relationship between the finite and the infinite. That's what it means. That's the Malach HaGadol. Okay. What it means to say is that Eretz is, it's not possible to have it on a national scale. It's not on a scale of the Ummah. It's impossible to have this process of conversion of the proper relationship between the infinite and the finite, unless it's an Eretz. That Yisif can call Tarkul. That's because of a lot of things. It's because of psychological phenomena, because of halachic phenomena. There's Shemitah, there's Maisres, there's Chumras, there's Maisres. The whole system of the land, the Kedushas Haaretz, the halachas in the land, the Migdash, everything lends itself towards the one thing. The proper perspective on life, and a person directing and channeling his energies into the proper sources that will give him true satisfaction. You see? That's really the bracha of Eretzel. When that's fulfilled properly, that's the bracha b'li mitzaron. Then you don't look at the boundaries of Eretzel and say, why don't we have that land over there? It's boundless. Because you're infinitely happy, because you're involved in the proper way of living, which makes a person enjoy his life, the life processes. He enjoys living. That's the correct way of life. That's only possible on a total scale for the nation. It's only possible with Eretz Yisrael. Not possible without Eretz Yisrael. Impossible. Without the halachas, without Kedushas Haaretz, without the whole system, it's impossible. But for a yachid, it's like the Rav one time said. The Rav said, I don't believe the Ramban was a different Ramban after he went into Eretz Yisrael than he was before he went to Eretz Yisrael. Or the Vilna Goyen. Vilna Goyen wasn't in Eretz Yisrael, but he was still the same perfected person. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't enter Eretz Yisrael, and they're still the same perfected. The most perfected of all individuals never entered Eretz Yisrael. So you see that Eretz Yisrael, while in terms of the totality of the system, is indispensable, nevertheless, for Yachid, you're talking about a different thing. Yachid is a different thing. Yachid is different. Even there are psychological phenomena also. What does it say about the Meraglim that Kolev Ben Yifuna went to was Mishtatach or Kivri Avos? There is such a thing as Kivri Avos. So what's the whole thing of Maris HaMachpela? What do you have in Maris HaMachpela? There is such a phenomenon. A person sees a Kivri Avos, and he sees a finite human being, but he sees his infinite nature that exists now, long after he's dead. That's what a Kivri really reflects. So you see, all these things are necessary to have the proper system and the proper life for the ummah, for the entire nation. You can't have it without Eretz Yisrael. But if a yachid, is different. Yachid is different. But a Yaakov Avinu wasn't involved in yachid. Yaakov Avinu was involved in what? The Shafti Rishon basically had a Hashem little kin. He was involved. He had a mission. He had a responsibility. But he got married after the marriage. What was the main thing that happened after the marriage? The main thing was Shiftei Korah. What were the wives concerned about? They're concerned about the responsibility to produce Shiftei Korah. That was the whole marriage was for that purpose. His whole essence was to establish the Klal Yisrael. So he was thinking in terms of the Klal, and that was his obligation to do that. And he didn't shirk his responsibility. But he really put himself to the task, and in spite of the task, he didn't forget about the infinite. That's why, what did Chazal say? Chazal say that Vayovo Yaakov Sholei Mir Shechem, I believe it's in that pasuk, it says that he didn't forget any of the Torah that he learned in Shem Veva. Why didn't he forget the Torah he learned in Shem Veva? The answer is because he really never stopped his relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because in Lovan Gati, Chayim Shemati, it means that a person forgets. It's an Issa Deraisa to forget a halacha. Why? What is the Issa Deraisa to forget a halacha? A person, not everybody is born with a photographic memory, so people forget. Even the Raman forgot. So what does it mean? Is it over love? No. There's two types of forgetting. There's a forgetting that comes from the faculty of memory, the shortcoming of the faculty of memory. There's forgetting that comes from an emotional type of forgetting. A person doesn't want to remember anymore. There's nothing they can. So a person leaves the base medrash and he goes to his place of work, or he's involved in doing a mundane task, he forgets about the base medrash. For a normal person, of course, Yaakov Avinu had a very good memory. But a normal person that would go to work for 20 years, he would be completely reduced in stature to a shadow of what he was formerly. Before a man learns, engages in 20 years, in 14 years rather, in Shem Veva, constant learning, and then he has such a lapse. He was involved in taking care of sheep, being a shepherd, day and night, and he was Oved Be'emuna. We learn that from Yaakov Avinu, that a worker has to give every ounce of his energy to the one that's paying him, to his employer, because he said himself how he worked. So he wasn't sitting doing his job and thinking about a sugya. He wasn't not allowed to do that. Isn't that right? It's Geneva, it's Gezel. So you see, he worked honestly, but nevertheless, he didn't forget. What does it mean he didn't forget? The Ram says in the Marne Rucham, there's a kind of Torah that doesn't require any memory. It's a Torah that has to do with the very intimate relationship between a person and God. And when a person gains that knowledge, he never forgets it. Provided he doesn't leave the situation, then he'll forget it very quickly. But that's why Yaakov never forgot his Torah. I would say that the problem is you see that that most people, that's why in the yeshivas you'll find people that they don't work. See, they're against work. Why? Because they can't. In other words, they feel they're torn. They feel there's a conflict. In the base medrash, they feel a relationship with God. But when they're out of the base medrash, it's chol. They don't have the relationship anymore. That means they don't have the proper philosophy. They don't have the proper stuff. Asalach l'fnei Hashem ba'atzis achayim. They don't have the proper stuff is the stuff of Yaakovina. That doesn't matter really. In terms of where he doesn't matter. He's always in that world. He's always related to the Barella. Different aspects. Sometimes more enjoyable, sometimes painful, sometimes can't help that. But the relationship never changes. The relationship never changes. That's what today, in today's society, in modern yeshiva world today, they have that problem. They're torn. Anything outside of the blood gemara, they feel is wrong. That's what they feel. Not supposed to work. That's in this marriage. What God based marriage? Have no relation to God. Okay. That's they didn't. They don't know the Hakel Beis. That's what they're missing. That's true. The Aron HaNaseya and the Aron Venucha. Venucha is the Beis Medrash. But Aron HaNaseya is Kum Hashem Yafitzu Evecha. You have to battle. Different kind of thing. Yeah, you're right. That's right. That's what Taisa says. Taisa's Paskin that even when you, that the bracha, there's no hefsek in the bracha. Why is there no hefsek in the bracha? Come back to learn at nighttime? Because it means you never really stopped. The relationship with the Baruch Olam never really stopped when you close the Gemara. And it's a constant sense of a relationship with God. That's good, yeah. The yeshivas teach you a child a very bad message. The message they give them is that everything's enjoyable out there, but you have to fight against that in life. So what they're telling the child is that you, if you want to please God, you will learn how to suffer for God. So they teach him the idea. The message they give him is that learning is painful, and the other thing is that watching television is enjoyable. So therefore, but you get rewarded when you avoid the pleasure and you involve yourself in the pain. You see, it's exactly the opposite. That the tithe is really a boring, and the really thing that's enjoyable is learning. And if they would teach the child that on the contrary, that man's nature really is to be involved in infinite pleasure. But there's only one area that can satisfy that. That's the area of Torah. That's why God gave us the Torah, to make us happy. Not to make, nowhere in the Torah does it say you'll be sad. It never says, nowhere in the Torah does it say that the bracha, the ultimate bracha will be you'll be miserable and you'll still be doing the mitzvahs. Exactly the opposite. Exactly. You don't realize, on the contrary, if you don't realize how fortunate you are and you're not happy enough, then you lack in your holding and your kiva mitzvahs are lacking. There's nothing wrong with you. You didn't see the proper, the proper outlook. It's an extremely bad thing. I'll tell you why, because that remains with the child for the rest of his life. And he always thinks of learning painful. And yet, if you take any child and you discuss something with him, you see how he enjoys it. He enjoys it naturally. You discuss an idea. And you discuss anything you discuss with him in the way of ideas, you see a child right away will enjoy it. Ask him a question, a puzzle, a little thing. See, right away his eyes lighten up, and he gets excited about it. More excited than he is when he's watching television. So, exactly. So the intellectual part of man's life really is something which gives him great enjoyment. It's something which takes his energy and utilizes the energy, and it's satisfying. Of course, I mean, each person according to the amount of time that he can put into it. Everybody has a certain limit, but within the framework that it's possible for him to do it, it is the greatest thing in his life. And in school, they teach exactly the opposite. It has an effect, unfortunately, it has an effect on people many times for their whole life. They don't grow out of it. The only time it's frustrating to tithers is when you expect everything out of the tithers. Person's on a beautiful island, it's a beautiful day. If that's what he thinks is going to make him happy, he's in for a big surprise. But if he's doing something that he enjoys, and as a side thing, it's nice weather, there are side enjoyments, then he'll be very happy, he'll enjoy that too. But this should be the essence, impossible. No person is happy. You can't enjoy your health, you can't enjoy a good, a nice sunny day. All these things, if that's what you're trying to enjoy, will not work. Impossible. These things are nice side things. But it saves themselves a lot of trouble if they knew this one idea to Torah would save them a lot of trouble. For some reason, man doesn't want to accept it. I want to accept it. And the amazing thing is, man insists on denying this one fact, even though he sees hundreds and hundreds of experiments that prove the point. But he's always different. That is the greatest fantasy. I'm not the same as the other. That's it. That's not happening. Same thing. You see that the Torah, what's the Torah's attitude about love? Love, the greatest mercy. Of course, in this country, the person's supposed to live for romance. Never see a single person that is living, enjoying romance all his life. Doing nothing, just enjoying the fact that he has some kind of a romantic conquest 20 years ago, and this is all he's doing now. This is it. There's no such thing as romance. The Torah recognizes love as a wonderful thing, but again, it's only if it's within the framework of a person involving himself in an activity which is intrinsically satisfying. If he doesn't have that, then everything is worthless. It's frustrating. Underlying philosophy of this society is to look for a kind of a pleasure that will, a finite pleasure that's going to give you infinite satisfaction. That's really what this society believes they can do. No matter what you tell them, they will never give it up. If nowadays it's physical health. So physical health is very finite, because as you get older, your health breaks down, and your body breaks down. But in spite of that, you'll have people in the gym at 60. They just deny the reality of the fact that this thing is a losing battle. And you're going to lose every day. You're gonna constantly diminishing. But no, the fantasy will attempt to overcome it. Man will not recognize reality. That's wonderful to have your health, very nice thing. But this is what the person essentially engages in. It's an impossibility. It seems like such a simple idea, but people just can't. There's one thing I would add. There's just one point I would add. And that is that the son mentioned love and God to the tiredness of Shamati, it really means more than that. It doesn't mean to say that the time that I was with loved one working so hard. That's one aspect that's difficult. When a person works hard, it's difficult for him to physically work, it's difficult for him to the Barahela. But there's another difficulty. The difficulty is when you're involved with people in a society where it's a totally different value system. And you have to put yourself into their frame of mind in order to function. That is when it's really difficult. Because in order to function with these people, you have to work in their premises. Otherwise, there's no relation between them and you. So you have to go out of your world of chachma, and you have to go back and imagine how they work in the world, into the world of emotions, and then work with them. That's in Lavan Garthi, the tiredness of Shemadi. And even though I was with Lavan, I had to work with him. I had to be in his world. But nevertheless, it didn't affect me. So there's two aspects of it. One aspect is simply the difficulties, but the other aspect is being in a society where in a society where you have to, you must, you're forced to be engaged in your own value system mentally in order to relate to them. That was Yitzhak Tzadik too. Because Yitzhak Tzadik was in the house of Potiphar, i.e. the Vesa Dono of Hamitzri, and he had a tzlacha because Hashem was with him. Why? Because it was Hu Yosef Shehoya the Mitzrayim, Hu Yosef Shehoya the Vesa Aviv, that was only the Tzidka. That was the quality. It's two things, not just the difficulties. The difficulty is one thing, but the other is another aspect. That is having to assume the framework of the people that are mundane and being able to function with them and yet to retain the relationship. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. There's a chazal that says by Shabbos, that Kol HaShomer Shabbos, properly, the person who Shabbos, is Nosim Lo Nachala Belina Tzarei. Nachala Belina Tzarei. So that means why? Because you see, Shmiras Shabbos is an interesting thing. Shmiras Shabbos is really the halacha of Onet Shabbos. So that everybody's mekayim Onet Shabbos. But the real Shmiras Shabbos is that the Oneg of Shabbos. Oneg, that's where it's talked about. The same area, same part of another. Shabbos Oneg, and they're given the nachala from the tzar. Right, the Ma'aneh gets a Shabbos. There's no Sanachal Mitzvah. Why? Because it means to say if the only Shabbos is in the proper framework, that means...
Hey! Can't
hear. The only Shabbos, if a person can enjoy the physical pleasures and they're still tied to Kedushas Shabbos, which means they're just parenthetical, they're side enjoyments, then he has that's the Nachal Abolim Mitzvah, that experience. Because then he's really happy, then he really enjoys himself. That's not what it means. That's why in Shabbos, that's like if a person waits for Shabbos in order to eat a cholent and to sleep. So that's on a Shabbos, halachically, but that's not the real on a Shabbos. The real on a Shabbos is on the contrary. It should be a day of Kedusha, a day of Tam Torah, and the onik should be a side enjoyment, a compliment. So then he enjoys both. That's the main Olam Haba, that's correct.